Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the July 3rd edition of the County Chronicle, and we'll start with the first page stories. Arcola School Board approved new contract salary increases. The Arcola School Board approved a new 3-year teacher contract and salary increases during a special meeting Thursday, June 27th. The teachers' salaries will go up by 3.5% for 2024-25 and then 2.5% each year for the next 2 years. That is in addition to the built-in step increase for years of service. Support staff will receive a 5% increase for the 2024-25 school year. Also approved were contract amendments for administrators with a 5% increase in pay for next year. The board also approved hiring Ashley Wishart as a third grade teacher. Douglas County Board reappoints McGee to Museum Board by Ben Crane. The Douglas County Board unanimously approved Kim McGee to be reappointed as a trustee for the Douglas County Historical Museum District Wednesday after recommendation from her fellow trustees. The 5-year term is set to be in effect on July 1, 2024. Among other things, the board passed was Resolution 24R9, which authorized Big Blue Trucking, LLC, to execute a deed of conveyance to the city's interest in the real estate parcel number 07063117002 for the sum of $300. The board also passed Resolution 24R10, A and B, which authorized the cancellation of 2 certificates of purchase on real estate parcels number 06073130104, and 07063130101010 in the sums of $1,300 and $1,147. Douglas County advertised and received bids for recycled concrete and asphalt crushing for use by the Highway Department and other units of local government. 3 bids were received, the lowest being $160,000 from Mathis Excavating out of Duquesne. The board approved the resolution unanimously and now waits for County Engineer Jim Crane's signature. A variances request was also approved at 101 Taylor Lane for the construction of a garage addition to the property. Crane recommended the permit be approved as the request complies with the requirements of Section 9 of the Douglas County Building Permit Ordinance. Finally, the board voted unanimously to retain Klein, Thorpe, and Jenkins as special counsel for ordinance updates to stay in compliance with the state of Illinois. There's an article, former Big Buford's owner opened 2 new area eateries, by Ben Crane. Jeff Buckler, the owner of the now-closed Big Buford's in Arcola and Little Buford's in Tolono, has opened 2 new bar and grills in Tuscola, the Warrior Pub, and in Arthur, Buck's Pub. "We just couldn't find any help after COVID," said Buckler. The Warrior Pub and Buck's Pub went through extensive remodeling to be ready for the summer, with the pub's process taking only a little over a week. As far as the Warrior Pub is concerned, the walls are painted in the town's team spirit black and gold, with plans for other Tuscola footwear as well as other more sports memorabilia to be hung up. The menu features dishes named after Tuscola legends, such as the Winky and the Wakefield family. After the 4th of July, the pub will be open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week. Another article, Main Street Lounge introduces a new vibe to downtown Arcola, by Ben Crane. The Main Street Gaming and Lounge in Arcola, owned by Barry and Gwen Pullen, opened its doors downtown in late May. Serving Purple Rider-inspired cocktails and whiskey flights, the Pullens have been sitting on this idea for years. "We travel a lot," Gwen said, "and that's what we like to do when we travel, is try out different bars and restaurants and that type of thing. So we've got a lot of our inspiration from just going to other places and trying to pick the different things that we like." Their goal was to offer something for residents that wasn't readily available to them. "We kind of just want to do something that was different from everybody else's and that's around here," Barry said. "With the different whiskeys, bourbons, and scotches, we wanted to bring them something that maybe isn't available to everyone at the same time. Same with our cocktails." Although the first to admit they're not all drinks served are 100% original, they both explained they spent time tweaking already existing drinks into something unique to the lounge. Their Purple Rider cocktail is a variation of an existing cocktail with some key differences. "It's actually a spin on Purple Rain. We changed at least one main ingredient, and that's how we got more sour flavors in ours," Barry said. With Gwen being the fourth grade teacher and Barry a firefighter in Mattoon, they both agree that running the lounge doesn't add more to their plate. "We used to help run with Barry's family the doghouse years ago, so we got some experience there, and we still had other jobs at the time, but the kids, Nate, Allie, and Ashley, were a lot younger then," explained Gwen. "So fast forward to now, our youngest just graduated, and we have even more time on our hands. The Pullens have plans for events at the lounge, including liquor tastings, coordinating other bars for a potential whiskey trail, and even having a mixologist come in where people can learn to make drinks. With the Coyote across the street and Back Alley Saloon next door, the three bars have discussed coordinating events together. We discussed about doing a block party, so we kind of have some ideas, Barry said. The lounge is open Thursday to Sunday starting at 12 p.m., with the weekend Friday and Saturday closing being an hour later at 1 a.m., and Thursdays and Sundays is at 10 p.m. We'll move now to the obituaries. Dale Eugene Scott, 95 of Arthur, died at 10:07 a.m. Tuesday, June 25th, 2024 at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Memorials are suggested to the Arthur First Baptist Church. Online condolences to the family will be shared at www.hilligosrathfuneralhome.com. Funeral services were held Monday, July 1st at the Arthur First Baptist Church with Pastor John Stewart officiating. Burial followed in the Arthur Cemetery. Visitation was held prior to the funeral service at the church. Schrader Funeral Home Arthur assisted the family with arrangements. Jose A. Medina, 81 of Arcola, passed away at 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 27, 2024, at his residence. A memorial celebration of Jose's life was held Monday, July 1st at the Edwards Funeral Home Arcola. Father Juan Carlos Ruiz officiated. Visitation was held prior to the celebration at the funeral home. Burial followed in the Arcola Cemetery. Judith H. Judy Lowy, 84 of Mattoon, passed away at 3:22 a.m. on Monday, June 24, 2024, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Funeral services were held Tuesday, July 2nd at the First Southern Baptist Church, Mattoon. The Reverend John Callio officiated. Burial was in the Arcola Cemetery. Visitation was held Monday, July 1st at the church. Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Marna Ruth Hancock, Methodist minister's wife, known for her talent as a collector and decorative artist, died at the Cedar Valley Hospice House in Waterloo, Iowa on June 22, 2024. She was 99 years old. A private memorial service will be held at a later date at St. Paul's United Methodist Chapel, 1340 3rd Avenue Southeast, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Sister Martha Harrington, SSCM, died as she lived, gently, on June 14, 2024. Special thanks to the ER staff and staff at the Three West St. Mary's Hospital and Uplifted Care Hospice who cared for Sister Martha in her last days. Her wake was held at Maternity BVM Church on Thursday, June 20th, before the Mass of Resurrection. Burial was in the Sister Cemetery, Beaverville, that afternoon. Jesse Allen Utley, 45 of Lovington, passed away at 9:11 a.m. Wednesday, June 19, 2024 at St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. Visitation was held Tuesday, June 25th with a celebration of life at the Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Gordon Hoke died peacefully at home on August 27, 2023. A private family service was held. There's an article, Hispanic Shops Breathing New Life into Arcola's Downtown, by Margie Carter. Downtown Arcola is growing again this summer. Already this spring, new businesses have opened their doors along Main Street, but there's a storefront that is building excitement in all age groups. Just down the road from their popular Zumba Fitness Arcola location, the owners of Cantu Drywall and Painting are pulling out all the stops for their newest business venture. La Michoacana may sound familiar, and to those who do not know the story behind the name, it may seem like a chain of franchise business. However, the name has no copyrights. It is known throughout Mexican culture interchangeably as an ice cream shop. Traditionally, the state of Michoacán is known for its ice cream, with many shops in other Mexican states having the same connection to Michoacán, either blood relatives or in business transactions of supplies and equipment. The end product, the delicious ice cream, is said to have roots in the ice cream capital, and the shops proudly take the name that include La Michoacana and a variation of the familiar logo depicting a Mexican girl with braids. On the U.S. state side, the name is more of a nod to tradition. It also makes the contents of the shop instantly known to Hispanic-savvy customers. Jose and Lupita Cantu weren't in the ice cream market, but a deep dive into their other businesses will show that the power couple has an eye for supply and demand. The light bulb moment was during the 2023 Broomcorn Festival when they set up a stand in front of Lupita's Zumba Fitness Studio selling elote, Mexican street corn, for festival goers. Though the snack is popular in most Hispanic communities, they were shocked by the wave of customers, mainly those asking where their non-existent shop was located. They sold over 500 butter and cheese smothered corn cobs over Friday and Saturday. "We decided not to open the stand the Sunday of Broomcorn because we needed a rest," Lupita reminisced, that made runs to local stores and surrounding cities to find more corn over the weekend and to keep up with the crowds. La Michoacana Rustica was born that weekend, and the Cantus spent the winter months renovating the building at 214 East Main Street in Arcola. The brightly colored counter matches the storefront's shiny yellow. The wooden furniture adds a rustic feel, and eagle-eye residents may notice the repurposed wood from a previously renovated downtown building. The shop's offerings do not hold back. Ice cream is brought in from the Chicago area in buckets and includes plastic paletas, both milk and water-based. Flavored aguas frescas, fresh juice, join the lineup. Fan favorites include horchata and lemonade accompanied by cucumber and strawberry drinks. Takis tortilla chips are prepared as a novelty snack. Manganodas will satisfy the sweet and sour lover, made with a frozen monger puree in a chamoy-lined cup topped with gummy candies and other sweets, and speared with a tarugo, tamarind, candy cane. The chili ting meshes with the sweet fruit for the perfect summer treat. Not to be forgotten, elotes are grilled out back and smothered up front for customers who just want to stick with an oldie but a goodie. With the range of treats, it's not surprising that over 500 people visited La Michoacana Rustica on the days of their soft opening in mid-June. Current hours are posted on the store's Facebook page daily. Some adjustments may be made throughout the summer based on demand. In the span of a couple of years, Arcola's downtown is reaping the benefits of the diverse community and culture. The thriving Hispanic population is sure to continue to add tourism and growth, one sweet tooth at a time. Zumba Fitness. Opening on July 31, 2023, Zumba Fitness Arcola was Lupita Cantu's dream. Having been a stay-at-home mom to her now 23 and 19-year-old children, she was ready for a change, though she can still relate to the women in her classes. Having a 4-year-old tagging along to the studio with her is why her classes are scheduled with school drop-off and pick-up in mind, she states. The studio offers Zumba, kickboxing, and cardio step fitness with plans to continue to expand class selection. Instructors include Lupita, Erica Garcia, and Caroline Rodriguez. Also included in the monthly membership fee are hiking groups, happy hour stepping into fitness, and themed nights. All events are posted on the Facebook page monthly to help members plan. As moms, we give everything for our children. Zumba is a way to give back to ourselves. Another article, Tuscola's Reedy earns national awards. Junior Shorthorn enthusiasts gathering from 29 states competed in the 2024 National Junior Shorthorn Show and Youth Conference in Timotium, Maryland, June 15 through June 22. Not only did the juniors compete with their animals, but had the opportunity to compete in multiple individual, team, or state contests. Tuscola's Maddox Reedy took home numerous awards. Throughout the week, juniors exhibited their animals and competed in individual contests. Contests included photography, promotional poster, arts, speech, livestock judging, and showmanship. In addition to the individual contests, there were team contests such as team sales, team fitting, state herdsmanship, quiz bowl, and beef cook-off. Juniors accumulated points by participating and placing in these events. A grand total is compiled from these contests, and then 5 high-point individuals are recognized based on their age divisions. Reedy placed 3rd in the points in the 10 to 12-year-old group. As the beef cook-off contest came around, attendees followed their noses to the delicious-smelling contest. The objective of the contest is for each state group to cook the best dish using the wholesale rib cut of beef. Judging criteria is based on the team's creativity, teamwork, and knowledge of the product slash industry in their presentation, as well as the taste, originality, and presentation of the beef product. Reedy was on the second-place team from Illinois, which included Lacey Wernicke, Ty Wernicke, and Kessler Collins. The object of the showmanship contest is to test the juniors' ability to show off their skills by exhibiting their calf. Reedy placed 4th in the 10 to 12-year-old group. One of the contests most looked forward to and popular is the team fitting contest. The contest allows teams to showcase their talents and abilities to fit and trim to present an animal, using teamwork, their own techniques, and processes with a 20-minute limit. Judging criteria is based on both fitting technique, teamwork, and end presentation. The contest includes 3 age divisions with an adult supervisor for each team in the prospector division. Reedy was on the second place team in this contest. His teammates, also from Illinois, were Kinlan Dreyer, Wyatt Dreyer, and Knox Rutledge. In team salesmanship, exhibitors in teams of 2 are asked with working together to market a product to prospective buyers, the judges. In the senior division, the exhibitors were given a scenario to present a business plan for a bank loan. The intermediate division were to sell a Transova product or service to a panel of judges. Prospector 1 and 2 divisions had the objective to sell an animal they had brought to the show. Exhibitors were judged based on speaking, participation of both team members, poise and skill in their presentation, teamwork appearance of the animal, and overall impact of the sale. Reedy and Jackson Bunting, also from Illinois, took second place in their age division in the sales contest. Juniors tested their knowledge on Shorthorn history, general industry information, general information about the ASA and AJSA, on the Cattlemen's Written Test. The objective of this contest is for juniors to hone their studying and research skills and help them overall learn more about the breed, the cattle industry, and the beef industry as a whole. Prospector 1 and 2 tests consisted of 25 questions. Intermediate tests consisted of 35 questions, and the senior test consisted of 45 questions, with all age divisions allowed 1 hour to complete their test. Reedy took second place in the written test contest. Finally, artistic abilities were shown off in competitions such as the Arts and Crafts Contest. This contest was composed of painting, videography, photography, sculpture, and music to promote America's oldest breed, Shorthorns. Entries were judged based on overall artistic appeal, originality and creativity, craftsmanship, attention to detail, difficulty of the medium used, and the promotion of Shorthorns. Reedy claimed a fifth place finish. The American Shorthorn Association provides quality service and support to its members by promoting the value of Shorthorn cattle in all aspects of the beef industry while maintaining the integrity of the herd book and performance database. The American Junior Shorthorn Association promotes personal development through youth activities and educational events while being dedicated to the betterment of its members. To learn more, contact the ASA office or visit www.shorthorn.org or www.juniorshorthorn.com. Arcola Rotary Club honors Julie Mills, outgoing president. At the last meeting of the Rotary year on June 27th, the Arcola Rotary Club honored its 2023-24 president, Julie Mills, with a floral bouquet. At this meeting, Mills summarized and highlighted the club's achievements during her year as president. The club had a very successful golf outing, chaired by Jean Seaman, which supported projects such as the Seniors of the Month program. This year, the club honored 18 high school seniors of the month and awarded two $500 scholarships to the seniors of the year, Bianca Argüelles and Cecilia Lozano. In addition, the club received a District 6490 matching grant to help some needed repairs in the historic Arcola Depot. On November 19, 2023, the club celebrated its 25th anniversary with a banquet. Mills named her Rotarians of the Year Sandy Arthur, Susie Saunders, Dixie Curie, Karen Yardley, and Winnie Storzum. Five chair members are still retaining membership in the club and continue to contribute to its success. New members joining this year were Michael Sigrist and Allison Schlau. If you're interested in more information about the Arcola Rotary Club or thinking of joining, please contact incoming secretary Winnie Storzum at wastorzum@gmail.com. Arthur's Freedom Celebration, a day of rain, sunshine, fabulous parade, and spectacular fireworks by Ariana Cherry. On June 29th, Arthur's Freedom Celebration began on a gloomy note with some intermittent showers. Despite the rain and bleak forecast, out-of-town visitors streamed into town eager to witness the evening's spectacular show. However, a light storm moved in, bringing heavier rain and casting a momentary shadow over the upcoming festivities. But with some answered prayers, the rain subsided by about 1:30 p.m., making way for sunshine and humidity to settle in. Despite heavy humidity, the Arthur Association of Commerce's parade marched on as scheduled, showcasing the majestic horses trotting gracefully, followed by veterans, Boy Scouts, local organizations, young baton dancers, fire trucks, and even an appearance by Santa Claus and Uncle Sam himself. As the parade concluded at Jurgens Park and the surrounding countryside of Arthur filled with people claiming their seats, ready to be captivated by the magnificent fireworks show, complete with its own soundtrack, the Arthur Rotary Fireworks proved to be another wonderful success, leaving attendees eagerly anticipating the next Freedom Celebration. Little Roots Youth Gardening Program coming to Villa Grove. Camargo Township Library introduced the Illinois 4-H program, Little Roots, a vibrant and enriching gardening program crafted for children aged 5 to 8 years old. Led by Rachel Stenger, Moultrie Douglas 4-H program coordinator, the program is designed to spark curiosity, foster a love for nature, and cultivate young gardeners who will learn the joys of growing their own food and flowers. Little Roots will be held on July 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, 30th, and August 1st from 10 to 11 a.m. at the Camargo Township Library, located at 14 North Main Street, Villa Grove. Children will dive into the fascinating journey of a plant's life from seed to sprout, learning each stage in an interactive and engaging way. Kids will dissect seeds and uncover the secrets within, understanding the vital role seeds play in the growth of the plant. Young gardeners will take part in beautifying their community by planting flowers, fostering a sense of pride and responsibility. From crafting to seed dissection, each session is packed with activities that promote environmental stewardship and a deep connection with nature. This engaging and educational program offers a fantastic opportunity for young children to immerse themselves in the wonders of gardening. Little Roots is designed not only to teach gardening skills, but also to encourage teamwork, creativity, and a lifelong appreciation for the environment. Registration closes on July 8th. There is a nominal fee. To register, visit https://goillinois.edu/littleroots.vg. Spaces are limited, so the 4-H urges those interested to register as soon as possible. Join Illinois Extension at the Camargo Township Library for Little Roots, where young gardeners can grow, learn, and bloom. For more information, contact the Moultrie Douglas Extension Office at 217-543-3755. First MidBank & Trust explains the remodel versus relocate debate. In today's housing market, it's not uncommon to consider the debate of remodel versus relocate. First MidBank & Trust understands that homeowners frequently weigh the benefits of upgrading their current residence against the advantages of moving to a new property. Erica Pilardi, mortgage loan officer at MidFirst, said it's essential to thoroughly evaluate the options before making a final decision. Relatively high mortgage rates and a lack of inventory across the country are continuing to make it difficult for people to buy houses, added Pilardi. These issues are leading to an increase in homeowners deciding to forego buying a new home and instead make renovations to their current one by utilizing a home equity line of credit. Pilardi noted conventional mortgages are loans taken to purchase a house, whereas a HELOC, the home equity loan, is when someone borrows equity from their current home to use as funds to remodel, among other uses. Homeowners receive a percentage of their home's value minus what they owe on their mortgage with a HELOC, establishing the approved line of credit for which they qualify. Funds can be accessed when needed, and the amount paid back is based on the outstanding balance. In today's housing market, even when a customer is pre-approved for a mortgage, just finding a house can be hard, said Pilardi. There are quite a few homeowners who decide to remodel their current home with a HELOC instead of buying a new house with a mortgage. Home equity lines of credit can be used for a variety of purposes. I've seen people remodel their entire house. I've also seen people remodel their bathroom, update their appliances, or do an entire kitchen remodel. Homeowners can also use these lines of credit for an addition to their house. Those who are thinking about moving to a new house might want to evaluate whether the things making them want to relocate could actually be fixed by remodeling. In that case, HELOC would be a good option to consider. Within the home equity sphere, there are also renovation loans, which differ from a line of credit. A renovation loan is still based on the value of the home, but it also takes into account how much the home will be worth after the renovations are complete. Pilardi said while securing a renovation loan, the homeowner will give the bank an itemized list of what they're getting done to the home, which will be sent to an appraiser to determine the extra equity. When deciding between a home equity line of credit versus a renovation loan, it just really depends if they need that extra equity or not, Pilardi said. We control the dispersion of funds on a renovation loan, but those with a home equity loan line of credit have full access to the funds and can manage whatever they want. Pilardi said both relocating and remodeling are viable options and added FirstMid's excellent customer service can help navigate the waters for those who aren't sure which option is right for them. Another article, Dinosaurs Invade Villa Grove by Tony Hooker. Every year, Camargo Township librarian Jackie Wells tried to come up with a creative way to end the library's summer reading program. This year's event, however, will be hard to top in future summers. You see, this year, dinosaurs invaded Villa Grove. That's right, a T-Rex named Bo and a Triceratops named Serafina trekked to the Villa Grove Methodist Church for a roaring good finale to a summer of reading. There they entertained a fantastic turnout of approximately 150 folks from the area, which is all according to plan, per Wells. We try to plan a grand finale for summer reading, she related. Some kids didn't get to go out of town much in the summer, so we try to find something to bring the town that the kids will like. Last year's Whale Mobile was a huge hit, according to Wells, and when she saw the Feller Express Dino Show, she knew she wanted to bring it to town, and thanks to a generous donation from the Library Friends Group, the prehistoric party went down on June 28th with the dinosaurs and their handlers traveling to Villa Grove from their nest in Evansville, Indiana. Because of the nature of the event, Wells didn't want to limit participation only to those in the summer reading program, and once word got out that anyone could attend, the registration skyrocketed, and from all indications, everyone had a fun learning experience. When asked where she comes up with the great programming ideas, she recalled that ideas come from many different sources, including a group specifically for librarians to share program ideas. She also indicated the Illinois Library Association has a different theme each year, and this year's theme is Adventures in Reading. She also noted that she and her staff often come up with program ideas, and that this year's theme is Reduce, Reuse, and Recycle. As a product of that theme, she collaborated with local artist Libby Netherly to offer an art project for kids that will use recycled materials. As an added bonus, this project will take place in Libby Jo's art studio. I thought it would be really great if they could do it in her art studio to make them feel like they were really doing something, she emoted. It's exciting when you go to an artist studio and do art, and she came up with something that the kids really liked. Another project that has proven popular over the years is the Yum Box Club for kids from 5th to 8th grade. We get these boxes of snacks from all over the world, and the kids try that, and they learn facts about the countries of origin. We actually incorporated that as a station in one of our summer readings this year, she shared. She noted the participation, the particular Yum Box that was from Thailand, and she wasn't sure how that would go over with her reading group, but surprisingly had no qualms about it. Since its inception, the library has been an active participant in the Villa Grove Freedom Celebration, and of course, this year was no exception. Wells pointed out that the library sponsored the Bubble Lady at the event, and from the looks of the crowd, she was a surefire hit with the kids. She added that on Saturday, July 13th, the library will be hosting a Bluey party, and in the future, a Bluey costume would be available for patrons to check out to wear on birthday parties for their kids. One change that Wells noted was because of food challenges some families face at this time, a decision was made to change the meeting time from 11 to 12:30, and the kids would be fed each day. As is always the case, when Villa Grove sees a need for help, Wells didn't have to even ask for assistance. Carla Westray from GRs was the first person to contact me to volunteer to feed the kids one day, and she fed the group nachos, she said. Alice Hatchell from the church said her women's group would love to provide a meal, and once she took information to the Ministerial Alliance, the Altar Society of Sacred Heart Catholic Church provided sub-sandwiches for the kids. Wells also thanked Monocles for reducing the price of their pizzas so the kids could have a pizza day. According to Jackie, there are several future programs for people of all ages in the planning stages. We're thinking about doing a program about stuff that kids, that people need to know and don't know how to do, she said. Things like how to check air in the tire, how to check your oil. We're just talking about things, little things, that people don't really know how to do, and we thought it might be fun. She's also very interested in getting the community involved in some way, mentioning she would love for people from Villa Grove who have special skills or do interesting stuff to come to the library and put on a program. Interestingly, learning about the particular skill isn't the only reason this project is important to Wells. I'd like kids to start meeting some of the people in our community and find out that they are part of it too, she related. Other upcoming activities include Little Roots program in July, the program in collaboration with the U of I College of ACES County Extension Services allows children from 5 to 8 to participate in actual gardening activity culminating in planting flowers on Main Street. Wells is also exploring opportunities to do outreach story times with Head Start and preschool with Villa Grove Schools. The library with most organizations isn't without its challenges, and Wells is preparing to make the changes necessary to face them. Some of those changes include incorporating new younger staff members to try to update storytelling and other activities. I don't know what's hip anymore, Wells confided with a chuckle. I just want kids to find out that it's okay to read. And a final article, Tuscola Hall of Fame. The Tuscola Alumni Association announced its next crop of Hall of Fame inductees. As has been tradition for the past several years, the names were released on the County Chronicle's Remembering Tuscola webcast. The inductees this year are Alan Shoemaker, class of 1974, Regina O'Brien Mazel, class of 1982, and Marcy Shoemaker, class of 1974. The ceremony and dinner will take place Saturday, October 5th, during homecoming. Reservations are required by September 27th. Call 217-621-2458 for reservations. Watch the paper for more information and the honoree biographies. And that is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye and see you again next week.